If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Isaiah chapter 1? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw, concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Last week we looked at the last verse of Isaiah. This week we consider the first verse and those which follow. And here is Isaiah, perhaps one of the greatest prophets of the whole of Scripture. He says very little about himself. He tells us the name of his father, arguably to prove which Isaiah he is. There were probably a number. He tells us when he was writing, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And the kings of Judah were a mixed bunch. There are two in that list who were godly men. The others, perhaps less so. But that too is important because Isaiah beholds many things from afar. He sees the coming exile in Babylon. He sees the final judgment and New Jerusalem. But most strikingly of all, and we often read from his prophecy in that 53rd chapter, he beholds the coming of the Messiah. And he was not a contemporary. He saw it hundreds of years before that event happened, before the Lord was incarnated. And that gives his words authority. He could not have made up what he saw. They are revealed to him by God. So here is a man of whom we know relatively little, but that the Lord spoke to him. And in verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. And sometimes the Lord will speak to an individual, and it will be a private, direct message, as it were. But here we have a message which will be heard by all. The heavens are to pay attention. The earth is to hear. Why? Because the Lord has spoken. Now Isaiah has mentioned a number of characters who in their day were important people. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. When kings speak, people are quiet. When kings desire, their wishes are command. But one is speaking from verse 2. And the whole of the created order is to pay attention. For the Lord has spoken. He says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now we know that in particular, the message I think is for the people of Israel, but it applies to to every human who has ever lived. After all, it's for the whole earth to hear. Paul, I think, in the Acts of the Apostles, refers to us by quoting a pagan poet, we are his children. Adam was the son of God for want of an earthly father, and we are his children. I have nourished and brought up children. We have been created by God. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Furthermore, we have been nourished. We have been fed. We have been strengthened. And they have rebelled against me. Some people wonder why in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the obedience to parents is there. But here God likens himself to the Father, and we are his children. And that family unit is a picture, just as marriage is a picture, the family unit is a picture of God and humanity. But we humans are a wayward bunch, and we have dishonoured our Heavenly Father. Though we have been nourished, well fed, well blessed in this earth, we have rebelled against him. He then talks about a couple of farmyard animals. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. Even an ox, which is brute and powerful but has limited intelligence, knows well enough the farmer to whom it belongs. Likewise, the donkey knows who feeds it. It knows who provides the hay for it to munch upon and the crib from where it can get its food. Again, donkeys are perfectly pleasant creatures, but they're not particularly known for their intelligence or spirituality. And yet when it comes to comparing them with the people of Israel, they come off very well. Because Israel does not know. My people do not consider. So the donkey and the ox have an advantage over Israel. They know more their farmer than Israel knows its father. And not only do they not know, they are ignorant, but they do not consider. When we went through 2 Peter in the Bible study, Peter alludes to a kind of deliberate ignorance, an ignorance which we foist upon ourselves. We deliberately do not wish to know. And he is speaking there of false teachers. And here we have an Israel who does not know its God, but neither will it consider. It is a self-imposed ignorance. And he continues in verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. Now, Isaiah is not seeking to flatter anybody at the beginning of this prophecy. He really is describing things as God has told him. Their nation is sinful. The people are burdened with iniquity. That is what evil does. It is a burden. It holds us down and it holds us back. They are a brood of doers of evil. They are children who are not only corrupted, but they are corruptors. Evil, sin, like a disease, will spread rapidly and easily. And the bottom line is that they have forsaken the Lord. And there we have the Lord's personal name, the Tetragrammaton, L-O-R-D, in capitals. They have forsaken the Lord whom they know, the Lord with whom they have entered a covenant. They have forsaken him. They have provoked him to anger. And a righteous God cannot but feel anger and wrath when he beholds evil. If he were to ignore it, he could not be righteous. But our God is a righteous God. He's called the Holy One of Israel. He is unique. He is above all the gods. He is pure. He is holy. He is righteous. He is absolutely good. And they have turned away backward. God is the source of all life, all goodness, all purity, all that is good comes from him. And those who would reject him therefore reject all that is good and holy and right. And here we have a people who should have been walking forward with their God, but in fact they are going backward. They have turned away. I'm not going to go any further than verse 4, but it behoves me to explain. The message of the book of Isaiah is, despite all of that, Jesus Christ is coming. Despite the iniquity and the evil and the corruption and the turning away, God himself is coming to earth to bring back these people. And the future he has for them is wonderful indeed. Again, the message is really for Israel in particular, but the whole heavens and the whole earth are to hear it. And if we are to walk with God and enjoy the benefits of God, we are to be faithful to him. We are to please him. We are to approach him. The last charge here is that they have turned away. Well, the God from whom they turned away, this evening we approach. That is the God before whose throne we are about to appear through faith. And though God is righteous and severe, he is love itself. And Isaiah's ministry was to bring back to God these people who have wandered off. I look at verse 5 in a fortnight.